Okay, hello everyone. Oh, grief, people do talk back in Southampton, that's good. Excellent, I am a little bit connected with Southampton actually, because my dad is from here. Ooh, there you go, yeah. I don't actually know much about my dad's past in that sense. He grew up in the workhouse in Southampton. He was born in 1933. So I know a little bit about this place, and I've been here twice in my life, this being the second time. So it's lovely to be with you this morning. And I obviously had to travel down here, and traveling is something that I do a little bit of. Anybody else or not? Well, not in the last 2 years, that's for sure, isn't it? Anybody going anywhere nice this year? What about you at the back in the white? Where are you off to? The Mediterranean, wowee, okay, brilliant. And you're going to have to go through an airport to do that, aren't you? No, oh, even better. Avoid the airports like the plague at the moment, isn't it? Well, I was in an airport on Easter Sunday. I was in Amsterdam, and I was flying to Uganda. And as I was in Amsterdam, it was Easter Sunday. It was very strange for me to be in an airport on Easter Sunday rather than in church, rather than somewhere like this. And I found it a little bit strange, if I'm honest. And the reason being is that if I took out my phone and I were to look at lots of my friends who are posting on various different bits and pieces, as people do, and they're all saying things like Happy Easter, and they were, you know, He is risen, Alleluia, and all this kind of stuff that, you know, us Christians do on social media. And yet, I'm there in the middle of Amsterdam Schiphol Airport, and I'm thinking, nobody cares. You know, everyone's running for their flights. You know, there isn't even a Happy Easter on the side of a departure board there. You know, if you've traveled in the Middle East or if you've ever gone somewhere like Dubai or Qatar, you know, if you're in the airport, there'll be an Islamic call to prayer 5 times a day in the airport. It's obvious where you are. But there I was on Easter Sunday in Amsterdam, and I'm thinking, does anybody even know it's Easter? Does anybody even know the significance of this day? And it caused me a little bit of a problem in my mind in some ways, because I was thinking about, well, Lord, just how on earth do you reach people? You know, how relevant is what we believe to people? Is it even relevant to people? All of those questions are going through my mind. And if you're anything like me, maybe you are, maybe you're not, they've maybe gone through your mind too. And I wrote a very long Facebook post, and there's one little bit I wanted to tell you, and this is what I said. Is that it says, if we know the Father through Jesus, then people will know the Father through Jesus in us. Okay, so if we know the Father through Jesus, then people will know the Father through Jesus in us. You see, there's lots of people have all kinds of techniques and thoughts of how you reach people and, you know, how you're the church in today's world and all this kind of stuff of what we should do in our everyday lives to reach people. But at the end of it, it all boils down to that fact that it's the life of Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, in our everyday life. But this sort of gap was causing me a few problems. And I sort of thought, you know, the brutal fact is that most of the way we think about church, the way we try and reach people and we try and disciple people, and I thought maybe it's sort of slanted by a world that no longer exists. You know, people, you know, I was talking to Astrid yesterday. You know, there's 11,500 people in Thornhill, okay? And we worked out that all of the people that attend church this morning in Thornhill, okay, whether they're from Thornhill or not, was about 2.5% of those people. So that means there's 97.5% of people who are not in church this morning here in Thornhill and in the surrounding areas. So can we just hold that thought there for a moment? Because I want to change to a different part of the world, if that's all right. Excellent. That man is on it. Absolutely. Straight away, he switched the slide. This is Zambia, and these are some women who are cooking there. And it would surprise you for me to say that despite there being 50% of people in Zambia who are Christian, and I say that in inverted commas, Christian, that it's actually a similar situation. You know, when I looked at the situations in Zambia, when I traveled around, when I spoke to people who were planting churches and working in villages and just villages themselves, I came to the conclusion that a lot of what we did didn't make any difference, which sounds a very negative thing to say, doesn't it? Because for me, you know, if somebody knows Jesus, if we know the life of God living in our life, the creator of the universe, his spirit living within us, the same spirit that hovered over the waters at creation, if he is living in our life, then something must be different. Yeah? Or not? And the fact is that when I looked a lot of what was going on, I thought, well, maybe there isn't so much difference. And then that was giving me not quite a crisis of faith, but it was raising a question in my mind. Because you either conclude that everything we believe is just a load of rubbish and we're all living a fantasy and we may as well give up and go to the pub or something. Or we're missing something else in it. We're missing something within this relationship with God that we have. It's a big question, isn't it? Because I'm sure each and every one of you, just like me, has had a similar question at some time in your life. Is all of this a big fat waste of time? Or not? It's just me. Maybe I should leave now. Who knows? Yeah. See, but that's where you come to. Now, I felt God speak to me in the midst of all of this. And it's from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 4. And I want to read them to you, if that's okay. It's a little bit small on the slide there, but I'll read it to you. So don't worry about that. He said this, "The spirit of a sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Now, this is a key verse here. This is what I really felt God emphasized to me. "They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." That verse there transformed my understanding of the way the church worked, of what the church was, of the way mission works. Because often the way we think about mission and church and what we do together is that you have some leaders who do the majority of the stuff, and we all come to church and we praise God and we pray and we do things and we maybe do a little bit throughout the week, but it's that's kind of the way it works. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas actually, I think what God was saying here was something completely different, because what he was saying to me was saying, "No, John, it's not like that. Every village, every place that you can possibly think of, name, see on a map, the place you've never heard of in the back of beyond, there are people there who I know or will know. And each of those people can be an oak of righteousness, can be a planting of me, of my spirit, of my life, right there in the midst of their own community, right there where they've grown up, right there in their workplace or wherever they find their everyday life being." And then God said to me, "So who's helping those people to grow?" And I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, well, there's not too many actually who are doing that kind of thing in Zambia. And it was almost like the Lord said, "Okay, well, get on with it then." But the key was that people were being missionaries right where they lived. So when I thought of myself as a person, I didn't think of myself as John who went to that church. I thought of myself as John as a missionary. Or Judith, she didn't think herself necessarily as Jude as the GP. She thought herself as Jude the missionary, who happens to be a GP. You see the difference? So the question for me is, it wasn't so much that the gospel is irrelevant. It wasn't so much that what we believe doesn't work. I just thought, we're just not close enough to people. We're just not involved in the lives and the communities that surround us. And I've got a little story from a guy called Andrew that I met. I just want you to listen for that for 2 or 3 minutes, if that's okay. How are we doing? I can see some frantic action up there on the PA desk. There we go.
Please. Here we go. in a village called Kambosha, in between Kawe and Kapiri.
Right.
As we were visiting the Chiwombo team, me and John, the past week, we met this man. He's part of a life group in Kambosha village, and this is his testimony. He used to be a drunkard. He used to beat his wife. He never used to care for his family, and he never considered marriage as one of an important thing or an important relationship. But from the time he became part of a life group, his testimony has changed. He really encouraged us because he was a living testimony, a practical example. As he was sharing with us, it was something encouraging because we could see it. He was like, I'm really a changed person. After being part of a life group, I've come to learn the word of God, which has really changed my life. I'm no longer the same.
This is Andrew with his friends Chelwe, Carol, Lillian, and Emmanuel. These friends are the generating force behind life groups in their area. They started off with one group and over the last 2 years have planted three more. They explain that their village has changed a lot over the last 20 years. It used to be much smaller and people were kind of the same, sharing the same opinions, viewpoints, and outlook. Yet, over time, things began to change as different people moved into the area. As differences began to emerge, people felt a little threatened. One group would burn and fell all the trees for farming, whilst another group would be aghast at their actions, saying, "Save the trees for another day." Some people would take all the caterpillars for sale, whilst others understood that if you did this, they would die out and there'd be none for anyone next year. The result was that people didn't get on anymore. The community became divided and people stopped helping each other. The organiser and mover and shaker of this group of friends is Carol. We asked her what difference the life group has made, and almost eagerly she said, "People care about one another. They help one another out and look out for each other." She explained that as people learnt about the love and care of Jesus, it has literally changed the hearts of people in her community. The group of friends went on to explain that as they learn to forgive, work with others, and act with love,
oh, that paused, has it? Okay, don't worry, that's fine. You get the gist of that, don't you? Guy called Andrew, his life's changed. He gets together with a few friends in his own community and he teaches people about Jesus. And they live the truth of Jesus amongst the people that they know every day. And there are hundreds and hundreds of groups. I think there's a map on the next page. There you go. All of those little dots across there, across the whole southern continent of Africa there, all of those are life groups. There's about 1,000 of them. There's literally thousands of people like Andrew, everyday people like you and me, who see themselves as a missionary to where they grew up, to where they live, to where they work. You know, our church is not about the 1% or the 0.5%. I think Astrid said a moment ago in communion, it's like a family. It's about everyone. And it's about everyone walking together in the same direction with the mission that God has given us, which is to bring his light and his life to everyone in every situation around us. So the gospel absolutely isn't irrelevant. What we believe is not irrelevant. We carry the hope of Jesus for our world. You carry the hope of Jesus for Thornhill, for wherever you live in Southampton. It rests on you. Doesn't rest on Astrid. Doesn't rest on me. It absolutely rests on each and every one of us. And there's three very important ways we can do that. You know, we can be close to people's lives. We can be involved, and we all need to know, and in our own way, teach the truth of Jesus to those around us. And all of us are called to help those who are less fortunate than us around us, to bring love to people, to be involved with people. There was a guy called, it was a church leader, very big church leader in the early church. His name was Athanasius. OK, Okay, he said lots of stuff, but one of the things he said about Jesus was this. It says, he became what we are to make us what he is. He came down from heaven, was found amongst us as a man, and he died and rose again so that we could be called the sons and daughters of God. In the same way, we need to go to wherever our friends and our neighbors are found and to be with them and be found amongst them. So in the same way, they can also come to know Jesus and be called sons and daughters of God. What's good enough for Jesus is also good enough for us. Is that the way, I wonder, that we understand this body of people this morning, yourself this morning? Is it the way you understand your life with God? There's, in Luke, yeah, I will do that, actually, I've got time. In Luke, it says this. Jesus told his followers a parable. It says, no one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch in the new one will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say, the old is better. You see, I think a lot of the church around the world, not just in Southampton or this country, we're at a bit of a crossroads. We're a huge crossroads. It's like, do we carry on as we are? And some of the church is doing okay, and some of it is not doing okay. Or do we embrace something new alongside that as well? And the new is where all of us are the people of God, are the missionaries of God to the places we find ourselves every day. I heard R.T. Kendall speak about 3 years ago. He's quite a conservative speaker. He's not known to give prophetic words and to speak, you know, this is what the Lord is saying. But one of the things he did say, which I remember very markedly, because I thought, yes, that's exactly it, R.T., was that he said, there's a time coming where the church won't be about the superstars. It won't be about the big preachers and Hillsong and all the rest of it. It'll be about everyone. It'll be about all of the people who are ordinary and what they do. And that's God's next move. And so that's what God's next move is for us. And everything that, you know, people like Andrew, everything you've heard very briefly about that's going on about in different countries in rural Africa is an example of that. Because the bottom line is that if somebody with virtually no education, with very little financial resource, who struggles from day to day to day, can be used as a missionary by God's Spirit to do amazing things in their own community. And by amazing, I don't necessarily mean big, but just bring that light and life to a neighbor or to somebody who hasn't got a home or to somebody who's struggling. It can just be very small. It doesn't matter. It's still amazing. But if God can use somebody like that, who in this world we believe doesn't have much, then God can definitely use you guys. 100%, that's a Southern African saying. Everyone says 100%. Absolutely, he can use every single one of you. No matter where you are with him, he wants to infuse your life with his own, and then that life will take you outside of yourself to somebody else. That's just the way it works. So we need to think about what's the direction of our life. And we need to think about what's the direction of our church. Last Sunday, I was in Wales. I spoke to a church of 6 people. Okay? 5 years, that church will not be there. Probably in 4 years, it won't be there. And I said to them, I said, the time of people coming to church is over. The time of us being the church out there is just beginning. That's where the future lies, my friends. I've got a picture of the Mackinac Valley. It's a picture of the Green Hills. There we go. This is where Jude and I live in Wales. And a couple of years ago, we took some of the lessons that we've learned in Africa, and we'd always been a bit hesitant because doing something where you live is really hard. Okay, I understand that. And that's the reason we've been a little bit hesitant. And also we were in and out a bit, so we're like, oh, if you start something, how will it work? But we did it anyway. And the fact is that within this area here, there's a life group, there's a group like Andrew's. And there's people who don't know Jesus who are coming to know Jesus. And there are people who have been far from him who are now far closer to him. There's about 17 or 18 people that are connected with that group. The young people have started to spawn out a youth life group from that. They invited a load of their friends from school and said, come together and hear about Jesus. This wasn't Jude or I doing this. This is just the teenagers doing it. There's somebody else who's got together a load of people who do crafts, and they pray at the end of that time to bring some of that life of Jesus to people. And none of the people doing that are specialists. Absolutely none. They really are. They're people like my dad. They're people like you. They're people like, you know, Jude. They're people like anyone that you know. The difference is that they decided to take a bit of a risk and a bit of a step and to trust God and to try it. So, obviously, I'm talking about reaching people in a lot of ways, yeah? But my question is that what has God said to you about what your mission is? Do you have one? What is God's plan for your life? Where do you live, or why do you live where you live? Why do you know the people that you know? Because you are uniquely placed to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to that person. I could never do that, but you can. You're unique, and God has placed you there for a reason. Even some of the struggles you might have faced in your life and are facing right now mean that you are uniquely placed to bring that love and life of God to those around you. And it's your mission if you choose to accept it. It really is up to you. I wonder what you'll do with that call. So, a couple of thoughts. Are you able to reach your community? You might think, never in a million years, but I'm willing to try. That's the right attitude. Now, one of the things that we have, we help people, whether they're in rural Zambia, or whether they're in Namibia, or whether they're elsewhere, or even here, to think about how they can do that. We've got a course called One Step. You can sign up for it, you can go on it, you can get the book yourself and have a look at it for yourself, and you can go through that, and it just helps you to think a little bit like a missionary would, exactly where you live from day to day. You might know of somebody that could do it. That's like the next best thing. If you can't do it yourself, find a mate who can. You can encourage them to start something right where you are. And another thing is that you may know of people in different parts of the world or different parts of the city who actually could do something like that themselves, something like what Andrew did. And if so, we'd love to talk to them as well, because we'd love to help them to understand how they can do that. The key thing is, and the key thing I want to leave you with this, is that Jesus will get to know the people around you chiefly through you. And if we duck that, maybe they won't. That's a hard thing to say, I know. But at the same time as saying that, I look at a bunch of people here who have God's Spirit within them, who are sealed with a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And so God, the Creator, lives within you. What does that mean? That means that surely we can do His work with those around us. You're an oak of righteousness. You're a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. You might only feel like a very small seedling at the moment, but you can grow into a larger tree. That's the way God works. That's the way God works in our community. That's the way God works through you. Will you let Him do that through you? Will you walk with Him in that? If you want to find out a little bit more about who Dignity is, you can QR codes. I don't know, are we into QR codes here, or is it a little bit too new? Okay, fine, no problem, that's okay. Well, if you get your phone out and you put your camera on that, it'll bring up a link and it'll take you to our website. You can have a look at various bits and pieces and how to join in and how to do some of the things we've been talking about. Or if the QR code doesn't work, there's the web address right there and you can just type it in on your phone or your computer or whatever else you use, and it'll bring you to the same place. Can I just pray with you? Lord, I want to thank you for everyone who is in this room. I don't know any of these people really, but I do know that they're my brothers and sisters, that they are sons and daughters of the living God. I also know, Lord, that your Spirit lives within each and every one of us. And I know, Lord, that you are sovereign and you have organized our lives and our circumstances, our whole existence, you are involved within and you are in control of. And we are not outside of the scope of that. So, Lord, that means that we are right where you want us to be. And I pray, Lord, you'd help my friends here to understand what that means. That friendship they have with somebody, or that relationship they're in with somebody at work, or whatever it might be, whatever circumstances we are in, Lord, that we can use those very things for your mission. They are not accidental. You have called us to that place. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help each and every person in this room. You'll help myself to bring the message of Jesus to those around us, to authentically speak about you. That's hard for us here in this country sometimes. And Lord, to love those people and have time for the people around us. Lord, if we do those two things, if we allow your Spirit to move in our own home lives, in our home community life, then we will see people come to know you. We will see your Spirit move around us. So Lord, I pray you bless every single person in this room. And may you give them the faith and the courage to, in whatever way they can, to go for it. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's very quick, I know, but it's been lovely to be with you. And Astrid's already getting fidgety there. I can see her moving for it. So Astrid, over to you. There you go.